kitchen tray. I walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow, until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is another episode of Fireside Chat with David James. Welcome. Welcome, my kinsmen and kinswoman. Hear ye the truth, and be ye edified. Well, this is number 10, folks. Yes, I like these fireside chats. Sometimes I just talk about things random, and sometimes I read you a few things, as you know. I believe I want to read you something by Joseph Goebbels. Some people like to say Goebbels, but I believe they called him Goebbels. I know there's no R there, but we do the same thing in America. You know, I've been looking at a lot of things lately and thinking about a lot of things. Thinking about you. Thinking maybe that you're hearing these shows and that you're being edified by them, you're being built up. I've had some people write me, and some people tell me personally that they have been enjoying these shows, especially the last three shows, which for some was very enlightening. Praise be to Yahweh for these things. You must know that it is Him that is giving us all these wonderful things. And this special knowledge that we do get is worth much more than rubies. For he says that wisdom is more precious than rubies. I explained that to you before, that one of the things Yahweh gave me that I have never heard anybody else at any time talk about. And I had never even tried to contemplate the idea that wisdom is more precious than rubies. But it came to me in a message I was doing on Saxon's Creed. And what it was just to refresh your memory or to relate it to you for the first time. The reason why wisdom is more precious than rubies is because if you had rubies, you could only spend them once. But wisdom can be spent over and over and over and over again throughout your life without losing it, like you would with dollars or rubies or gold or silver or any of these things. You know, just because you have gold or silver, it doesn't mean that you'll save your life, that they would save your life. But wisdom could possibly do that, and does, if you adhere to it and live by it and listen to it. Of course, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of Yahweh. You see, if you do not fear the Heavenly Father, you will not obey Him. You will not respect Him. You will not even acknowledge Him. But those who are smart and those who are wise or want to be wise or want to be smart will know that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of Yahweh. And that's because His wonderful word is what will protect you through life if you adhere to it and the principles of it. And the, you know, He who loves me and obeys my commandments, I shall ba 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 ba. You see, it's imperative that you fear Him with a healthy fear. It's not a fear where you're cowering in the corner. It's a fear, a respectful fear, a fear of like you would have of the fear you would have of your earthly parents if they you respected them. And you wouldn't do things because of your fear of the ramifications of what your parents might do to you or think. And it's the same with the Father. He's watching at all times. You're not getting away with anything. I'm not getting away with anything. Nobody is. And so keeping that in mind will keep you on a straighter course. And that's why it's wisdom to fear the Father. See, just to know that He sees everything you do will cause the wise in heart to walk the straight line, let's say. Okay? You don't want to be like Balaam, going to the left and to the right. You would be crooked. You want to walk the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, that leads you back to what you lost. It's a path of redemption, a path of restoration, and a path of wisdom and knowledge. You see, people that cannot be rebuked or cannot be taught anything have harmed themselves immediately. Impaired is a better word. Be of a cheerful heart, you know what I mean? Be of a cheerful heart and be happy in what the Father does for you. I must tell you, He's been so good to me lately. I mean, He's always been good to me, but I mean, I'm just saying that lately, when I'm not even expecting it, He blesses me. And the blessings seem to be continual. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that the Father is. I never told you this, okay? When we were out on the land, I had a lot of leaves on my land. I get a big kick out of this too, because I wanted to mention this. This is glory to the Father. All is glory to the Father. And that's the way it should be and always will be. And that's, I wouldn't have it any other way. But there was wind on my land like I have never seen. And I mean, this wind blew. And it was blowing from the west to the east. And it blew all the leaves right off of my land, saving me a lot of time and trouble. Now, there's still leaves down in the valley of the land, so to speak, because those couldn't all be blown out that way. But I'm telling you, it was just, I started laughing, and my hat was, you know, getting blown off my head practically, and I was just chuckling and laughing and thanking the Father. I took my hat off, of course. Anytime I speak to the Father, I rip the hat right off my head. I don't always wear a hat anyway, but I mean, I just happen to be wearing a hat then. And if I am wearing a hat, I will rip it right off my head before I even say thank you, before I say anything to the Father. Just pure respect. I have nothing but respect for the Father. And I wish there to be no trouble between us, you know? It's my goal to make it that way. No transgression if possible. I'm working hard on it. He knows it and I know it. He knows me and he knows you. Don't let things separate you from the Father. Don't let even guilt separate you from the Father. Go to him, speak to him. And ask for his help. You know, you must think about the Father today too, because so many of our people have hurt him over the centuries. When we told him, when our forefathers had told him that they wanted an earthly king instead of him, which was hugely foolish, very hurtful to the Father. Imagine your children telling you, "We don't want you as a dad. We want some earthly fellow here. We don't want you as a father. We don't need your help." And then we went into whoredoms and all kinds of things over the centuries, and we hurt him. And there were blessings to him, too. I mean, he was blessed and he was hurt. Remember, the Father does have feelings. I mean, he's not out of control with them. You know, he's not a lefty. He's fully in control. But the proof that he has feelings is that he can be provoked to anger by the things we do. And you know that as parents, that your children can provoke you to anger. It's no different. Well, I'm going to read this. However, let me just finish the thought too. You see, I don't want to provoke the Father to anger. And what I was going to say was, now that most of our people have turned their backs on him, and we who love him dearly and show him respect and pray to him and thank him and love him and appreciate him, it means all the more to him, I would believe. And So what I'm saying is here's your chance. I'm not trying to say he's not a favorer of persons. I mean, I shouldn't say persons, of men or women. But he is looking for his children to love him and to turn to him and to pray to him and speak to him and depend on him. And so it's your chance. Since so few of our people love him anymore and listen to him and have turned their backs on him, you have a real chance to make a difference in the kingdom by turning to him, by loving him, respecting him, fearing him, blessing him, obeying him. And praying to him in his mighty name. So, this is entitled The Jews Are Guilty by Joseph Goebbels. This essay is dated 16th November 41. All the Jews in Germany had recently been required to wear the yellow star in public. And of course it says here, which tells me who's involved in this. It says, and the Holocaust was beginning. BS. Excuse me. In this article, Goebbels made it clear that the future of the Jews in Germany was over. Anyone sympathetic to the Jews would be punished. This article, like most of Goebbels' lead articles, was read over the radio. Howard K. Smith's book, The Last Train from Berlin, asserts that all Germans got copies of the article with their monthly ration cards. The source? Die Juden sind schuld. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Jew is to be a vagabond and wanderer. The Jew is not to be in our countries. And when Germany tried to get rid of the Jews, and that doesn't mean they tried to kill them all, because they were exporting them to Palestine in cooperation with Jewry. Basically, the Jews had been invited into Germany and given full citizenship and equality and all these things, and not many people like to have the Jews come in their land. And the Germans are a good people, a very good people, and too good for their own selves, It's a bad thing, because not bad, but it's they've been taken advantage of. And Jewry did all these bad things, and then Germany just said, that's it. We know who did it. We want you out of here now. And so all these people have to die. All the soldiers on all kinds of sides need to die, because Germany does not want Jewry in Germany any longer. They're no longer welcomed. In other words, you're in my home, you violated my space, you violated me, you violated my children, you violated everything, the economy, everything you can think of, and now we want you to leave our home. You're no longer welcomed here. And the German people have a right to do that. Any country has a right to do that. So anyway, let's read. The historic responsibility of world Jewry for the outbreak and widening of this war has been proven so clearly that it does not need to be talked about any further. The Jews wanted war, and now they have it. But the Führer's prophecy of 30th January 1939 to the German Reichstag is also being fulfilled. If international finance Jewry should succeed in plunging the world into war once again, the result will be not the Bolshevization of the world and thereby the victory of the Jews, but rather the destruction of the Jewish race in Europe. We are seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy, of the prophecy. The Jews are receiving a penalty that is certainly hard, but more than deserved. World Jewry erred in adding up the forces available to it for this war, and now it is gradually experiencing the destruction that it planned for us. Remember my prayer, ladies and gentlemen? May those that seek to... I'll put it in for Germany instead of America, and I mean it just as much there, too. May anybody that tries to destroy Deutschland be destroyed by their own devices. So what he's saying is they had a lot planned to destroy the Germans, and they were receiving the destruction themselves. Praise Yahweh. It's too bad it had to end the way it really did, because the world would not be in the Bolshevization that he talked about that it is in now. We're ready to have the Bolshevik Revolution in America. And that means blood will be flowing heavily. So it said World Jewry erred in adding up the forces available to it for this war, just like they did with the first one, and now is gradually experiencing the destruction that it planned for us and would have carried out without a second thought if it had possessed the ability. It is perishing according to its own law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Every Jew is our enemy in this historic struggle. Regardless of whether he vegetates in a Polish ghetto or carries on his parasitic existence in Berlin or Hamburg or blows the trumpets of war in New York or Washington, all Jews, by virtue of their birth and their race, are part of an international conspiracy against National Socialist Germany. They want its defeat and annihilation, and do all in their power to bring it about. That they can do nothing inside the Reich is hardly a sign of their loyalty, but rather of the appropriation measures we took against them. One of these measures is the institution of the yellow star that each Jew must wear. We wanted to make them visible as Jews. Makes sense to me. Particularly if they made even the least attempt to harm the German community. It is a remarkable human measure on our part, a hygienic and prophylactic measure to be sure that the Jew cannot infiltrate our ranks unseen to sow discord. Makes sense to me. As the Jews first appeared several weeks ago on the streets of Berlin, graced with their Jewish star, the initial reaction of the citizens of the Reich capital was surprise. Only a few knew that there were still so many Jews in Berlin. Everyone suddenly found someone in the neighborhood who seemed like a harmless fellow citizen who perhaps complained or criticized a bit more than normal, and whom no one had thought to be a Jew. He had concealed himself, mimicked his surroundings, adopting the color of the background, like, what do I always say? That they're the greatest chameleons. Adjusted to the environment in order to wait for the proper moment. Who among us had any idea that the enemy was beside him? That a silent or clever auditor was attending to conversations on the street, in the subway, or in the lines outside cigarette shops. That's what the Sayonim do, ladies and gentlemen, and they're all around us today, in America and Europe, all the Israelite countries. There are Jews one cannot recognize by external signs. These are the most dangerous. It always happens that when we take some measure against the Jews, English or American newspapers report it in the next day. They report it the next day. Even today, the Jews still have secret connections to our enemies abroad and use these not only in their own cause, but in all military matters of the Reich as well. The enemy is in our midst. What makes more sense than to at least make this plainly visible to our citizens? That's a question. See, Germany was making sense. Germany was using common sense. Where today, everything America does is the opposite of common sense. We're involved in everybody's country, and we have no right to be. I'll read you some Steppenwolf lyrics, and you'll see what he says about that. I believe the song is called The Monster. And it's very interesting. So, in the first days after the introduction of the Jewish Star, newspaper sales in Berlin went through the roof. Each Jew on the street bought a newspaper to conceal his mark of Cain. As this was banned, now, interesting that they're calling the Jewish Star the mark of Cain. And I call it the mark of the beast. Hello. As this was banned, one began to see Jews on the street of the west side of Berlin in the company of, what he says, Gentile foreigners. These Jewish lackeys actually should wear the Jewish stars themselves. The excuse they give for their provocative conduct is always the same. The Jews are, after all, human beings too. That's a lie. We never denied that. Just as we never denied the humanity of murderers, child rapists, thieves, and pimps, though we never felt the need to parade down the Kurfürstendamm with them. Every Jew is a decent Jew who has found a dumb and ignorant goy who thinks him decent. Right. As if it were a reason to give Jews a kind of honorable escort. What nonsense! The Jews gradually are having to depend more and more on themselves and have recently found a new trick. I'd say you better prick your ears up like a German shepherd right this moment. They knew the good-natured German Michael in us. Always ready to shed sentimental tears for the injustice done to them. One suddenly has the impression that the Berlin Jewish population consists of only little babies whose childish helplessness might move us, or else fragile old ladies. The Jews send out the pitiable, that they may confuse some harmless souls for a while, but not us. We know exactly what the situation is. May I comment here? Of course I can. Listen, have you not seen what the Jews are doing? Every single time you see immigration, what is the catalyst? I'm going to let you think about it for a minute while I take a sip of my coffee. What does every one of these situations have in common? You remember the dead baby on the beach? And now we have a dead child. One dead child, and we need to let in everybody. A child died because their parents don't know how to take care of them. And so the tears, the Jewish tears, are trying to move us yet again with the use of a child. They don't care about children. They touch little children. They certainly don't care about the beast of the field's children or your children, white woman and white man. Matter of fact, what they want to do to you is abort your children and tear them apart out of the womb, piece by piece, crush the skull and rip the skull out. Sorry, I have to be graphic, but I'm not sorry, really, but it's time for you to adult up. So, for their sake alone, we must win the war. If we lose it, these harmless-looking Jewish chaps would suddenly become raging wolves. Boy, he knows what he's talking about. I told you this, and they've told you this in their comments. When they're on the bottom, it's all harmless tears, smiles, and love. But when they become a concentration camp, like over in, like it was after the war in Germany, like it was in the Bolshevik Revolution, they are raging wolves. They become the biggest dictator in the world. They would attack our women and children to carry out revenge. Listen right now, okay? Listen carefully, because that's exactly what did happen. So don't tell me these people don't know what they're talking about. Goebbels knows what he's talking about. For their sake alone, we must win the war. For if we lose it, these harmless-looking Jewish chaps would suddenly become raging wolves. They would attack our women and children and carry out revenge. There are enough examples in history. That is what they did in Bessarabia and the Baltic states when Bolshevism marched in, even though neither the people nor their governments had done anything to them. There is no turning back in our battle against the Jews, even if we wanted to, which we do not. The Jews must be removed from the German community, for they endanger our national unity. You know, that's exactly what all the countries, the Israelite countries, white countries, should have done in the first place. You don't have to kill them all. You have to remove them from our nations. You don't cast them on your brother's nation. You cast them onto the beast of the field. They are not to live in our countries. They don't deserve to eat our food. They don't deserve to walk on our land. They don't deserve the benefits of the land of milk and honey. They don't deserve to have our money. They don't deserve to be in our governments. They don't deserve to be doctors, artists, bankers, any of these things. Teachers, definitely not teachers. They need to be where they were cursed to be, vagabonds and wanderers. And we should have borders and close them out of here. And all their weapons, their two-legged weapons as well. You wouldn't believe the change in your country if you did this. You wouldn't believe how fast the dynamic would change. You would not believe the level of peace, the level of prosperity, the level of love between the people, the level of happiness. You just don't know what you're doing to yourself. All of you countries do not understand that the misery that you're going through is caused by these Jews. They're the ones bringing all those people in there to rape you and to steal off of you and to make you unhappy. France was a beautiful place. Germany was a beautiful place. Look at it now. Look at Sweden. Is anybody happy anymore? As Robert Plant said years ago, does anybody remember laughter? Certainly nobody in the UK is laughing very much, are they? Your happiness has been stolen because you want to protect the very thing that's killing you. You know, I told you this so many times about the plant, the world as a plant, and the deadheads are living on the plant, and if you allow the deadheads to live on the plant with you, they will kill the whole plant. Can you not see that the whole world is dying? Can you not see that your love is dying? Can you not see that the animal population is dying by 2% per year? Can you not see that the land is being modified, that women are being modified? When's the last time you've seen some gorgeous women? They all look like men wrestlers now. And I don't mean any harm. Something's happened to us all. I'm no beautiful human either. I'm just a regular fella. Listen. Your own happiness has been stolen from you. Your money's been stolen from you. Your prosperity. Your milk and honey. Your land, some of you. Your love. Your family. Your children have been modified and destroyed. And you still will pretend you don't know what the problem is. You still will defend all those that are making you unhappy, all those that are destroying everything. You keep defending and blessing and giving to. So, he says, as we continue, this is an elementary principle of racial, national, and social hygiene. They will never give us rest. If they could, they would drive one nation after another into war against us. Who cares about their difficulties? I couldn't agree more. Who cares what they call for? And as long as you have them in your nation, as long as you keep trying to give them the little nation over there, it's not a nation, as long as you try to give them that occupied stolen land over there and to pretend it's a nation, it's not a nation, you will be unhappy and you will have no rest. You keep blessing Yahweh's enemies. The Jews are Yahweh's enemies. They're your enemies. They're the world's enemies. You've been listening to too many words. Racism, racism, racism. Listen, think about 20 years ago. Now people are getting arrested for saying a racist word. Let's think about how stupid that is. Anyway, who cares about their difficulties? They who only want to force the world to accept their bloody financial domination. The Jews are a parasitic race that feeds like a foul fungus on the cultures of healthy but ignorant peoples. There is only one effective measure. Cut them out. I agree. Only makes sense. You've got to cut the deadhead out, or the plant will not survive. You have to cut. If you know anything about gardening and you see deadheads on your plant, cut them off, and soon you'll see your plant will thrive and will be beautiful and healthy. If you let them live on those plants, they will die and kill all of the plant. And it will look horrible and unhealthy. How stupid and thoughtless are the arguments of the backward friends of the Jews in the face of a problem that has occupied mankind for millennia. How they would gape if they could ever see their dear Jews in power. But that would be too late. That is why it is the duty of a national leadership to take all the necessary measures to keep such a thing from happening. There are differences between people, just as there are differences between animals. Some people are good, others are bad. The same is true of animals. The fact that the Jew still lives among us is no proof that he belongs among us. Just as a flea is not a household or an household pet, simply because it lives in the house. When Mr. Bramzig or Mr. Knotterich feel pity for an old woman wearing a Jewish star, they should also remember that a distant nephew of this old woman by the name of Nathan Kaufman sits in New York and has prepared a plan by which all Germans under the age of 60 will be sterilized. They should recall that a son of her distant uncle is a warmonger named Baruch or Morgenthau or Untermeyer, who stands behind Mr. Roosevelt, driving him to war, if they succeed, a fine but ignorant U.S. soldier may one day shoot dead the only son of Mr. Bramzig or Mrs. Knotterich. It will all be for the benefit of Jewry, to which this old woman also belongs, no matter how fragile and pitiable she may seem. If we Germans have a fateful flaw in our national character, it is forgetfulness. This failing speaks well of our human decency and generosity, but not always for our political wisdom and intelligence. We think everyone else is as good-natured as we are. The French threatened to dismember the Reich during the winter of 39 and 40, saying that we and our families would have to stand in lines before their field kitchens to get something warm to eat. Our army defeated France in 6 weeks, after which we saw German soldiers giving bread and sausages to hungry French women and children, and gasoline to refugees from Paris to enable them to return home as soon as possible, there to spread at least some of their hatred against the Reich. That's how we Germans are. Our national virtue is our national weakness. We do not want to change all that much. And as long as our world-famed good nature does no great harm, why should we? Klopstock gave us some good advice, however. Don't be too good-natured, since our enemies are not noble enough to overlook our mistakes. If advice applies anywhere, it applies to our relations with the Jews. Carelessness here is not only a weakness, it is a disregard of duty and a crime against the security of the state. The Jews long for one thing, to reward our foolishness with bloodshed and terror. It must never come to that. One of the most effective defenses is an unforgiving cold hardness against the destroyers of our people, against the instigators of the war, against those who would benefit if we lose, and therefore also against the victims if we win. Therefore, we must say yet again and again. Number one, the Jews are our destruction. They started this war and directed it. They wanted to destroy the German Reich and our people. This plan must be blocked. Number two, there are no distinctions between Jews. Each Jew is a sworn enemy of the German people. If he does not make his hostility plain, it is only from the cowardice and slyness, not because he loves us. Number three, the Jews are to blame for each German soldier who falls in this war. They have him on their conscience and must also pay for it. Number four, If someone wears the Jewish star, he is an enemy of the people. Anyone who deals with him is the same as the Jew and must be treated accordingly. He earns the contempt of the entire people, for he is a craven coward who leaves them in the lurch to stand by the enemy. You pay attention to that, ladies and gentlemen. You better pay attention to that right there, what he just said. I'm going to read that again. That's how important that is. You listen. If someone wears the Jewish star, he is an enemy of the people. Anyone who deals with him is the same as the Jew and must be treated accordingly. Now listen. He earns the contempt of the entire people. Why? For he is a craven coward who leaves them in the lurch, his own people, that is, to stand by the enemy, which is the Jew. How many of you out there are doing that? How many of our politicians are liberal, idealized idiots that have gone to the colleges and been brainwashed by Marxist professors? Number five, the Jews enjoy protection of our enemies. They enjoy the protection of our enemies. That is all the proof we need to show how harmful they are for our people. Number six, the Jews are the enemy's agents among us. He who stands by them aids the enemy. Number seven, the Jews have no right to claim equality with us. Bravo. This is what I've been telling you. And I've never read this before. Bravo, Mr. Goebbels.
Oh, I'm a Nazi sympathizer now.
No, I'm somebody that knows what the truth is. Number seven, the Jews have no right to claim equality with us. They're not like us at all. They don't have any conscience, and they hate us. They are the most subtle beast of the field. They are not man. If they wish to speak on the streets, in lines outside shops, or in public transportation, they should be ignored. Not only because they are simply wrong, but because they are Jews who have no right to a voice in the community. I agree 100%. If the Jews appeal to your sentimentality, realize that they're hoping for your forgetfulness, and let them know that you see right through them and hold them in contempt. Number nine, a decent enemy will deserve our generosity after we have won. The Jew, however, is not a decent enemy, though he tries to seem so. I want to stop right on that point. That's how the German attitude is, okay? A decent enemy will deserve our generosity after we have won, right? How about after we won? Were we decent to the Germans? Have you seen the movie Hellstorm? Do you know anything about post-war, World War II Germany? Were we decent and generous to our enemies after we won? If you saw that movie, you'd cry tears. What we did to these people. These wonderful people. Number 10. The Jews are responsible for the war. The treatment they receive from us is hardly unjust. They deserved it all. Remember when the actor there, Mel Gibson, which Gibson is a Jewish name, and I don't know any white people named Mel. Do you? But people say he's not a Jew. I say he is. Well, that was a little psyop he played there when he said the Jews, he got drunk and the cop pulled him over and he said, oh, the Jews are responsible for all the wars. And then they made him look like he was a nutcase. And only a nutcase would think that the Jews were responsible for all the wars, right? People, you don't know the manipulation that you've been under. You just don't understand. It is the job of the government to deal with them. No one has the right to act on his own, but each has the duty to support the state's measures against the Jews, to defend them with others, and to avoid being misled by any Jewish tricks. The security of the state requires that of us all. I must say, I'm impressed by Mr. Goebbels. I will say again that the real reason they don't want you to discuss the Holocaust or to discuss World War II Germany is because they've made it a case-closed thing. They told you that Germany, that Hitler took all the guns away from the people. That's an abject lie. Absolutely one of the biggest lies of all. They told you that Hitler was burning books of Christianity. It couldn't be. It was just the opposite. This is just the most ridiculous nonsense. The lampshades, which now that DNA has come through, there's no more lampshades or soap in these so-called Holocaust museums, etc. What happened to them? Don't you people remember these things? Don't you people ever hold these people for accountable for anything? Can't you read between the lines? Can't you see that you're being tricked by the fables of the Jews? How many times must I tell you about Timothy and Titus, who were both told to beware of the fables of the Jews by the Apostle Paul? If anybody knows what the fables of the Jews are, the Apostle Paul would. He was right in the middle of being... He was a Pharisee, but he wasn't a Jew Pharisee. He saw these things directly. He was a witness. Do you not believe the Apostle Paul? Or did you think that the Jews were just persecuted by the Apostle Paul? When it was rather the opposite. It was the Israelite people, his own people. For I love telling you this because it's one of the most wonderful things, you see. They like to tell you the Apostle Paul was a Jew. And he was of the tribe of Benjamin. But we got a little problem. The Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen, and no Roman citizen could be a Jew. Or vice versa, no Jew could be a Roman citizen. Case closed. Hear me, Judeo-Christian? Case closed. No, Paul wasn't a Jew any more than Peter was a Jew, any more than Jesus was a Jew, any more than David was a Jew, any more than Moses was a Jew, any more than Adam was a Jew. None of them were Jews. Zero. The only one of the disciples that was a Jew was Judas, which shows the great mercy of the Father in heaven, that he would not pick one of his own offspring to take that part, to betray him. He would not condemn one of his own children to the fate of what would happen to the one who condemned him, the one who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. No one but a Jew would do that anyway. And of course, Judas was not an Israelite. He was a Jew, an Edomite Jew. Can you not see the mercy of the Father in that? Did you not know that Judas held the purse of the money for the group of the disciples and Yeshua himself? What else would a Jew do but hold the money, right? It's all there in front of your face. It's as plain as the nose on a Jew's face. You're being tricked by the fables of the Jews. You know, one of the great things about Manasseh, which is America, and it's not a great thing, is that we're forgetful. That's what we're known to be, forgetful. And that's just what the Germans, 55% of the American population in World War I was German. We were one vote away from speaking German in this country, and it's too bad that that never happened. That's why the Bolshevik Revolution must happen here. That's why World War I had to happen, so that they could send Germans from here to war. And so that they could kill them on the abortion tables. I hope that you're able to see these things. I hope that the flame that's burning behind my voice will burn the dross off your memory and will help you to be refined gold and help you to think for yourself, speak for yourself, put on the full armor of Yahweh and become a soldier like you're meant to be. It's no time for pussyfooting around, ladies and gentlemen, soldiers. See, we're soldiers of the ever-living God. We're not the soldiers that the Jews pay to pretend that they love Jesus. The Jesus they love is this Jewish Jesus, not Jesus himself. They've been tricked by these Jews. And may the Father awaken them at any moment. Please, Father, awaken those military men and women and let them not fight any more wars against their own brothers for the sake of the Jew. May the spirit of Germany arise in America and throughout the Israelite nations, for it's the tribe of Judah, the greatest warrior. And may we not fall back asleep. May we not forget. May we be interested in reading and uninterested in the glass toilet, as Noah Fredericks calls it. The glass toilet. That's what Talmud vision is. You shouldn't be watching that anymore. You know it and I know it. Rise ye up, soldiers of Yahweh. Strengthen yourselves and be of good cheer. But be fierce as lions in the mighty name of Yahweh. I've been praying for all of Israel, and I suggest that you do too, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not talking about the stolen land over there. You see, there's the real and there's the imitation. And the imitation couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. They claim they're the tribe of Judah. They couldn't fight their way past the Dallas cheerleaders. They're the cheap imitation. Good evening, folks. I love you. And may Yahweh bless you as much as he possibly can.
Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wonder what it's all about. The rainbow heart on your mind. facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just